help Brian get to that rodeo. You should have bought me the tickets. Could have caught the last half at least. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another day you've given us, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your word that's been preached tonight. Lord, I thank you for all the works that you've allowed us to see and to be involved in. I thank you for this church, Lord, and I thank you for your people, Lord, who have been coming out every night, Lord, and want to hear from you. We want to hear from you, Father. And Lord, I just ask you to speak this tonight. I ask you to help me, Lord, as I preach, that you give me just the right thoughts and just the right words, Lord. May you be lifted up tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. I don't want to embarrass my niece, but my niece is here. She's studying at Texas State. She's going to finish up, Lord willing, this year. And so she's here visiting us, and Lord willing, she'll be here tomorrow night, and Lord willing, Sunday. I appreciate you say hi to her on your way out tonight. Acts chapter 20. I'd really like to read the whole chapter, but I'm not. Let's just start in verse 18. It really is a great chapter, just because here you see a man, Paul the apostle. And you know what? We don't glorify men. But you know, when somebody does a good job, I think it's worthy to be recognized. He did a good job. You know, and this guy did a good job. He served the Lord, and if you read his conversion, and Mike talked about it, you know, this guy was an evil man, persecuting the church. And he thought he was doing the right thing. He thought he was serving God. He thought he was pleasing God. And putting people in prison and just right there in the thick of it when Stephen was stoned to death. And then all of a sudden God, which, you know, I'm sure if you would have asked anybody there, you know, when God saved them, you know, it's just incredible. And then all of a sudden to use them and the way he used them in his life is just, but here you get to the end and he's calling the elders because he's not going to see them no more. And he knows it. He knows he's not going to see him no more, but he wants to tell him just a few things before he takes off. You know, he had care for the church. And you know, it says here in verse 18, it says, "And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after that manner I've been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, and have showed you, and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God." You know, the thing that I want to talk about tonight is that last verse right there in verse 24. You know, there's something you got to say about people that stick around. You know, I mean, a lot of you guys, there might be some of you guys that have been here for a long time now. And that is something to be recognized. You know, that, you know what, you got saved at whatever age and you're still serving God. You know, and that's not to say that we all have our ups and downs. You know, I mean, every one of us has gotten, backslidden. Every one of us have felt or had times where we didn't want to serve God or we were rebellious or whatever the case is. But you know what? We're still here. You know, and the phrase that I want to trampling from is right here where it says, "But none of these things move me." You know? I mean, what a statement. And first of all, it's just incredible to me that here's a guy, he has all these people that he's gathered, and he's saying, okay, and he starts talking. You know that I've done this, and I've done this. I mean, these guys at any moment could have said, no, Paul, that's not true. You know, you're just puffing yourself up, Paul. No, that's not the way it happened. No, I mean, it's like our fishing, well, at least my fishing stories, you know? Not Danny's, but mine. Okay, we always, you know, we've caught a fish this big and it's actually this big, you know? But no, Paul's saying some tremendous things. He said, I mean, just look at that. He says, I have been with you at all seasons. That's a pretty big word, all seasons. He says, from the first day I came into Asia, he says, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears. You know, there's a couple things. When you think about that phrase, but none of these things move me. There's some things that he wasn't to be moved from. That's the first thing I want to talk about. There were some things that he said, you know what? I'm not going to be moved from these things. And the first thing I thought of was the purpose. Look what it says there in verse 24. It says, for none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ, testifying the gospel of the grace of God. You know, that was his purpose. His purpose was to teach and to preach the grace of God. You know, and when you talk about the grace of God, you're talking about salvation through grace by the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and that was something that when I got saved was just tremendous. It was a the mission conferences were always, always, always have a special place in my heart because it was during a mission conference that I got saved. And it was incredible. I remember it like it was just the other day. You know? I mean, I remember the last Sunday, the song that they sung, you know, How Can I Say No? You know, and if you read that, you know, the words, if you sing that song, it's talking about everything about doing, you know, about the church, you know, doing more, about us, our commitment, our responsibility. But you know what just kept ringing in my head? How can I say no to this awesome salvation? God himself coming down to me and saying, you know what? I want to save you from your sins. You're not worthy. No one is worthy. The grace, what an awesome thing. Paul said, you know what? My purpose in this life is to preach the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't to make his name known among all people. Who cares about his name? You know, did you notice there it says his own testimony? It says, testifying both, in verse 21, to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's who he preached. So he had a purpose, and he wasn't going to be moved from that. The other thing I thought of was his message, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all he preached. You know, and another thing I thought about was he wasn't going to be moved from his duty. He had a duty. He had a responsibility. Look what it says in verse 26. Verse 26, it says, wherefore I spake you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. What a statement. Now, I know I can't say that. I know that me, myself, in my life, I know there's been plenty of times where I've just missed the opportunity to tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. I just missed it. You know, have you ever had somebody that you've been close to die, and you didn't tell them? I mean, at all, zero. I have. You know, it was during a mission conference that I was speaking. I was the last time I was going to speak, and my dad calls me up. He calls me up here at the church. I've often thought about that. You know, a
of all places to call me, and you know, back then, you know, I don't think I even had a cell phone back then. I think only the big old walkie-talkies were, you know, everybody had these big old things, right? But he calls here to church, and he says, when are you going to come? I need to talk to you. And I hear something in his voice, and I'm thinking, you know, Dad, I'll be there tomorrow. I preach one more time. It's tomorrow. And then after the meeting, I'll go. But, you know, what's wrong? And he wouldn't tell me. And so I felt led to go ahead and give him the gospel one more time. I think, Dad, you know, this, you know, Christ died for you. You don't have to wait for me. You know, and he says, well, that's exactly what I want to talk to you about. And so I tried to give him the best, the clearest way I could. We hung up. The very next day, my sister calls me and says, Dad's passed away. I've often thought about that. And I remember going down and going and viewing my father's body. And I remember thanking God for letting me tell him one more time that the Lord Jesus Christ could save his soul. Now, I don't know if he got saved. I don't know if he got saved. But you know what? God is faithful. We have a message, and that message, in the last hour, in the last minute, in the last second, someone can get saved, someone can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that moment be transformed immediately and become a child of God. I have that hope. Well, you know, he had a purpose, he had a message, and he had this duty. He said he was pure of all men. But you know, I started thinking about other things too, things that did not move. He wasn't going to be moved from his purpose or from his message. I mean, he didn't care what, he didn't sugarcoat his message. It was just, he was always on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why they hated him. That's why they persecuted him. That's why they were after him. That's why he had to be let down in a basket, the Bible says over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in a basket to flee because they wanted to kill him. Why? Because he preached in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there were some things that didn't move them. Look what it says over there in verse 19. It says, with many tears, many temptations. It says, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. You know, I think about all this thing, tears. And you know, you and I have had tears, you know? And I'm not talking about good tears. I mean, I like good tears. I really enjoyed those tears that I had over the summer when my mom... Have I told you my mom got saved? Did I already tell you that? Did I tell you she's singing in the choir now at the Baptist church? He calls me up and says, hey, I joined the choir. Who is this? Oh, man. You know? Join the choir. My sister gets saved. Man, I'm not talking about those tears. Those were good tears. Going and sitting in my sister's living room, and she says, just tell me how to get saved. Tell me about this. I want to know. My oldest sister. And I'm there telling her, and she's getting it, and she goes, I want to be saved. Amen. And then I have to explain to her, that's great, but I can't do it for you. You see, God doesn't have grandchildren. God doesn't have nieces and nephews. God doesn't have cousins. It's all children. And so in order for you to become a child of God, you have to repent of your sins. You have to ask God to save you. And you got to trust in Him. And you got to do it. And she said, just show me how. And so I showed her how. And then she prayed. You know, those are some good tears. When God has put us in different spots, I think of not too long ago I read it quite often, an email that I got a few months back from one of the young men there in my church. His name is Francisco, Paco we call him. This guy, he just gets out of a drug rehab. His parents tell him, you have to go to church. This drug rehab is run by a Christian organization, but they're more interested in helping these guys, you know, get away from drugs, which is all great. But when they leave, they say, you have to call on a higher power. This is your ticket out if you want to stay clean. So his parents goes, well, the higher power is the Catholic Church. Let's go to church. And he didn't want to go. He said, no, I'm not going. But he was forced to go. So anyways, he goes to church. They come out of church, and they're a little hungry, so they're going to eat some sandwiches right there by where we preach. That morning we show up, and we preach. And he stayed there, and he told me, what I heard you talk about. And that day I talked about idolatry. And he goes, what you said is what I heard in that place. And so he wrote me this letter, and he says, I think it's time. Because you got to know him, this guy's real shy. Real shy, real timid, you know, just a real rough life. But he wrote me this letter and he said, I just want to tell you thanks for explaining to me the gospel. He says, I never thought it was possible after, I think he told me, 7 years, 9 months of being in drugs and all kinds of junk, that could just be just lifted off me. And I read that oftentimes, and it just brings tears to my eyes. Sometimes you think, no, I've done too much, I'm tired, I don't want to do it, but that day could be the day that God uses you in a tremendous way. But you know, we all know what tears are. What about the tears of people that just leave? That leave the Lord. That leave the ministry. That leave the assembly. Well, that hurts too. And you know what? Sometimes it hurts to the point where we think, man, I just can't handle it no more. I just can't keep on. I hurt too much. Well, you know what Paul said? None of these things move me. It's a fact of life. Some people that hear the gospel are going to believe. And you can't let the ones who don't believe pull you out. Sometimes people aren't going to stick around. Sometimes they're going to get offended. Sometimes they're going to get hurt. Sometimes they're going to hear a hard message, and they're thinking, no, the pastor is singling me out. And they're going to leave. None of these things should move us. Amen. Just like Paul says right here. Persecution? Man, none of us had the persecution like Paul's talking about. He's saying men lying in wait. I mean, that's just incredible. You know? I mean, we have such liberty here in the United States. It's incredible. You know? No one stops us from coming to church. You know? We can come here all week long. And in the morning too, and just hang out in the parking lot, you know, and talk and witness and pass out tracts. No one gives us any kind of hassle at all. Even in Mexico, where sometimes we get hassled, you know, every now and again. Persecution, you know, my persecution would be, you know, probably that one time in Irapuato when I got thrown in jail for 5 minutes. Oh, it seemed like 5 years. You know, what was I doing? I wasn't stealing. I was preaching. You know, and it just so happened, Bill's idea, right? We get some problems there in some little market, and Bill says, well, I think we ought to go. You go first, and then I'll go tomorrow. Oh, okay. So I show up first, and I get taken off to jail. Persecution? Yeah, 5 minutes sitting in the cell. But Paul had a whole lot worse. And he stuck with it. You know why he stuck with it? Because he was already determined. None of these things are going to move me. I have a purpose, I have a message, and I have duty. I have a responsibility. You know, turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Just real quick, talking about a couple more things, about the things that didn't move Paul. I think it's real important.
that we look at this stuff, because we often think God saved us and God chose us and God put us in this assembly and this is my church. You know, I live in Mexico, we work in Mexico, but this is my church. Anytime anybody asks me, you know, where's your church? I think, well, it's in San Antonio, but I live here. I pastor a church here. I work here. Well, what would you do if you went back to the States? Well, I'd be in San Antonio. This is my church. This is where I am. And you know, I think if you look at this in chapter 11, 2 Corinthians, right? I'm in first. All right. 2 Corinthians. Look at all this stuff that happened there. I mean, if the tears and temptations of the persecution, Paul even says over there that he was going to Jerusalem not knowing what was going to happen to him. You would think God selected him, he would have given the insight, right? They say, well, you know, I'm not going to let, you know, too much happen to you. No. He was used as an instrument, and God used him for his purpose. Right? Look what else happened to him in verse 24. It says, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. He's not talking about smoking wacky tobacco either. He's talking about rocks. He's talking about getting hit with rods. He's talking about getting whipped. All for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Incredible.
Look what else it says. It says in 26, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often. Have you been weary? Have you had pain? And Paul said, none of these things move me. I think that is the absolute attitude that we need to have as a Christian. We have a purpose. We have a message. And we have a duty. We have a responsibility. And he said, none of these things that happened to us. And thank God that none of us have suffered these things that we see here.
I mean, all these things are just horrible things that happened. And Paul was actually selected so these things could happen to him. And so you and I can read it and go, wow, this is just incredible. But you know why he did it? For the Lord Jesus Christ. If we just put that in perspective, what the Lord did for us a long time ago. And to tell you the truth, the Lord even had options. You know? I mean, he could have called angels to save him. And he chose not to. He could have very easily done away with the whole thing, and he chose not to. You know, even there on the cross, he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and the last thing I want to say is there some things that kept him from being moved. 3 things. In verse 24 of Acts. He wasn't going to be moved from his purpose, his message, or his duty. And no matter what happened to him, it wasn't enough to move Paul. But he did. I think there's 3 things here that are important for us to also have that same testimony. And it's definitely possible. If this guy could do it, you and I could do it. You know, that's the amazing thing about reading the Bible. You know, these people in the Bible, they're not, you know, these great, you know, men who has, you know, superpowers. They're just men and they bleed just like you and I. But they had one thing in common that you and I have too, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. If you read right there in the text in verse 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life. You know, I think that's the first thing that we got to, that we have to consider if we want to get to the end and say, none of these things move me. You have one life. And it's your life. You know? You can't assure
that your children are going to grow up and serve God, you can't be confident of that. You can be confident of your life. And if it was just because, if it was just for my daughter or my family members, for me just to keep on going, just so one day they might get saved, just through my testimony, it'd be good enough. Because I think that's very important. You know? I mean, 17 years I got walking with the Lord, and He's totally changed my life. I mean, I have an awesome life. I really do. I can sleep at night in peace. Because I got peace with God. You know? But everybody has their eyes on you. Your family members, your coworkers, the people you love are watching you. They're watching every single step. And I think Paul, in order for him to come down to that the end of his life and say, none of these things move me, the reason why he did it is because he took care of his life. And that's your responsibility. No one else's. Another thing it says here, also, look at this. It says, and that I might finish my course with joy. You know, when I think about that, of course, you think, and I believe it's something symbolic too in the Bible, talking about, you know, a race. We all do have a race, correct? You know, and when you think about people racing, like on the track, you know, and they're running and they're getting, I love to watch races. You know, sometimes they you know, show these guys real athletic and they're running, you know, the hundred meters or whatever in 2 seconds or whatever they do now. You know, I mean, it's just incredible to watch these guys, and they're so disciplined. I mean, some of these guys stay away from Coke and candy bars and all the good stuff in life. You know, they say, no, I can't eat none of that. No buffets for me. You know, it's just a real disciplined life. And why? Because they want to win. Well, you know, each one of those guys are running to be the winner. And as sad as it might sound, only one guy can win. Isn't that right? Just one guy. And he gets all the glory. But you know what the awesome thing is about Christianity? We all have our lanes, but we're all winners. Every single one of us. But it's up to you. It's your responsibility to take care of your lane. What is your course? What does God want out of your life? As a Christian. As a believer. As a member of this assembly. What is that God wants you to do? I mean, some of us He's called to another country. And some of us aren't being called right now. Some of us are preparing ourselves to go somewhere else one day. And some of us are saying, you know what? God wants me right here. And that's okay. Everybody has their own course. But you know what? It's your course. It's your lane. And you have to be willing to do whatever it takes to make sure you finish. To make sure that you can say at the end, at that finish line, you can say like Paul, the last time he was going to talk to these people, the last time he was going to see their face, the last time he was going to give them any kind of instruction, and he said, guys, none of these things move me. Nothing. His life, they didn't have anything to say, Paul, you're lying. No, he had a good testimony. His course, he finished his course. And the last thing, I think it's important. Look what it says. Finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. The ministry. You know what he preached? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he preached. And I think that is what is given to us to take care of. You know, we don't go out and preach work salvation. I really feel sorry for religions who go door to door and they put on their Sunday best and they talk to these people. They have nothing to say. You know, when a Jehovah's Witness comes to my door, and the reason why I say Jehovah's Witness is not just to pick on them, but because they are hard workers. They put us to shame. They really do. And you can spot them out. They all got the same tie. They all got the same suit. They all got the same, you know, briefcase. They look exactly the same. But they come to my door. You know the first thing I tell them before they, they go into their little speech. And then as soon as I can, I say, are you saved? And they go, well, you know, what are you talking about? You know? And I start dealing with them on grace, on salvation, on that God's merciful and He wants to give us salvation. We can know now that we're saved. I'm not saved because I'm good. I'm not saved because I did something. And it's incredible how difficult it is for some people to grasp it. And I'm not picking on those people because a lot of them were us too. You know, for many years it was hard for me to grasp salvation, grace. You know, being born into a religion where you had to be baptized, first communion, confirmation, you know, confess your sins at least once a year. Do all these things, and at the end of the day, you have no idea what's going to happen to you when you die. You talk about being a slave. And when God comes and He does the opening, He opens your eyes to the gospel, the grace of God, and says, this is grace. Grace simply is, you don't deserve it. You don't deserve it, and I'm giving it to you. Salvation is not of works. You know, when we deal with people in Mexico and I'm talking to them or up here, whatever, and I'm trying to get them to understand because I know it's a difficult thing, you know, when they hear us say, I'm saved, they go, you know, what's going on? You know, what do you mean you're saved? Yeah. When I die, I'm going to go to heaven. What are you talking about? You know, I mean, how do you know? Well, because God says it. He says, if I believe in Him, then I have eternal life. And the example I love to give to them is, it's like if somebody is drowning, you know, in the ocean, and the lifeguard runs in there to save this guy who's drowning. Well, you know, that lifeguard doesn't get to, you know, a couple feet of the guy that's drowning and saying, hey, guy, do this. You know, he doesn't do that. You know, that's not the ideal time to teach him how to swim. You know, the guy is dying. Why do you have lifeguards? Because you're saving those people that are dying. And when he drags them out and he puts them on dry land and the guy stands up and says, I'm dead? No. He says, I'm saved. You know? And then it always gathers a crowd, right? When someone's about to die, everybody wants to see that. You know? And so all the people stand around going, oh man, is he dead? Is he alive? What's going on? And then the guy stands up and says, I'm saved! No one says, oh, he didn't swim by himself. He didn't get to swim. Everybody understands? No, the big dummy went in there. He couldn't swim. He was dying. And this guy who knows how to swim jumped in and took him out. Well, that's what Jesus did for me. That's what Jesus did for you. And that's the ministry that we preach. You know what? I think if we keep true to this ministry, this message that we have of grace, I think we can end and come to the end and say, none of these things move me. You know, you can't think of yourself too much if the focus is always on the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't be puffed up for too long if the focus is always on the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? We have this message. We have a purpose, a message, and a duty. And we need to take heed to our life. We need to take heed to our course that we have. And each one of us has a course. And we need to take care of this ministry that God has given us. So then at the end of the day, when we get done and we go before the Lord, we can also say, none of these things move me, and I finish this thing out. Amen?